Sorry, I wore a sweatshirt. I'm trying to make sweatshirts business casual in 2021.
I often wear sweatshirts. I'm normally wear sweatshirts, but you know, very little things fit me these days. And
what's your due date?
May 4th.
Oh my gosh, that's so soon. May the 4th be with you. Or just let it be Cinco de Mayo.
That's my hope. Like, I genuinely hope that she is born for Cinco de Mayo because I love birthday parties. And I'm like, yes. Child, you would be blessed with guac and fajitas.
That's right.
The rest
forever.
Of your life.
She would be highly favored. That's
highly
right.
Highly favored. I hope. All right. Are we ready? Andy, I was so glad you were on the podcast again.
Thank you for having me back. This is my dream come true, Sadie. Thank you.
Well, it's my dream come true. And you know, I think you and Bob Goff are the only two people I've had on the show twice. And
what
y'all
an
are
honor.
Like kind of like similar people.
Yes, we are. I'm like a cheaper Bob Goff. I'm like the bottom shelf Bob Goff, and he's the top shelf Bob Goff.
No, you're just the girl version.
That's right.
It's awesome. Well, I miss you. I miss seeing you in Nashville, our frothy monkey hangs, which I don't even know if that is a thing anymore. Because
on the porch. You can be on the porch there.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yes. Do you like how the sun is coming in right now, by the way? The sun is setting in Nashville. That's probably one thing you don't miss in West Monroe is the sun does not set at 3 o'clock or whatever in the winter there,
No. That's so very, very early. That's bad.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about this because I was just thinking I haven't talked to you in forever and how you were the first person that I really saw on social media talking about COVID and how you had the pants count, which is like the fun. And I was just wondering, do you still have a pants count?
Yeah. I mean, so what happened is I got quarantined the first week of March. So like literally my friend who got COVID was one of the first 10 people in our city to get it.
No.
And so at that point, the health department, jokes on them, literally thought that they could contain it if all of us stayed home. And of course, Sadie, I'd come home from tour. I'd gotten off the bus Monday morning, and Tuesday night I went and watched the Bachelor season finale.
Yes,
and
you did.
Wednesday morning she tested positive for COVID, and we were all like, wait, people have that in America? Wait, what are you talking about? And so then because I'm not married yet, I don't have kids yet, and I live alone, I was like, I have to be in my house by myself for 14 days. And then it just kept going as everything shut down. And so I was like, I have to count whether I have on, what kind of pants I have on. I have to wear a different lipstick every day. I mean, I made all these rules to try to have, I mean, it's what we're talking about. I had to set up all these little, almost like buoys or tent poles in my life when I was trapped in my house to try to help me have fun in a really scary and sad situation. I don't want to be alone that much. It's terrible.
No. Yeah, that is terrible. Well, I mean, Annie, you do have a thing for taking, what is it? Living to make it lemonade.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
Botched the quote. But no, you do. And like you said, that's what we're going to talk about today. Your new book, which I actually have right here. That sounds fun.
Yes.
And you do. You just make life fun. And it's cool, too, because not only did you make something good out of something that was really hard and have fun in a really hard time. And I know that was hard. It's not like that was necessarily fun, but you made fun things happen.
Yeah.
My mom took, you know, you said you learned from her. She learns from you. She took from your advice. We had charts on our house. Every kid had to put like what they're going to do in quarantine, what hobbies, what fun, like all the stuff.
Bucket
and
list.
That was from you.
Yeah.
So you were a fun instructor. And
yeah,
that is,
that's right. I'll take it. Do you know that happens to me all the time, Sade? But people will, back when we traveled and such, they'd stop me at airports or at restaurants or even at church and be like, Annie, can I tell you what I do for fun? Because it's the last question I always ask on my podcast.
Cool.
It's also called That Sounds Fun. And it's because people have kind of set me up as like the judge and the expert. Like they want me to coach them and they want me to judge their fun. And I'm always like, if it's fun to you, it's fun. You're doing it.
It's awesome. That's so good. I love that. Well, that's a good point. If it's fun to you, it's fun because like my friend Steph that you know like, loves puzzles. That's not necessarily fun for everybody, but hey, I love that she loves it. She's in here.
That's exactly right.
Well, I know you've been on the podcast, so you've answered the question, what's the best piece of advice? But do you have any other good piece of advice that you've been given recently or whenever that you've thought of that you want to share with us?
Okay, so I've been thinking about this for some days. And I'll tell you, the thing that has changed my life the most in the last probably 3 to 4 years has someone literally said to me, just open your Bible every day. which I know sounds ridiculous because I've been a Christian a long time and you have too. But I didn't have a very good rhythm of spending time in scripture. I would have quiet times, quote, quote, as they say, and I would read, but it wasn't like daily. And so what I did last year is I got a plan and I read the Gospels 12 times. I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every month for the whole year.
Wow.
And it has, I know this is going to sound silly, but it has changed my life. Because now when we live in a world where government's confusing and the unrest is confusing.
Right.
And who is right and who is wrong. I have spent an entire year reading the Gospels and knowing what Jesus is like.
It's awesome.
And so that would be, that's the advice that someone gave me a few years ago that in the last few years has really changed me is like, it doesn't have to be 100 chapters a day. It doesn't have to be 100 pages a day, but just every day, if you'll open your Bible, there's so many plans out there. YouVersion has a bunch. You've created some, and She Reads Truth has them. He Reads Truth. And we did one on that's on my website that's the gospel one that I did. We designed it for the whole year. And it just,
so cool.
I know that sounds crazy, but it just, you know this, it changes your life to be
in scripture. It does change your life. I love that. I saw you doing that on Instagram, posting about the Gospels each day, and I thought that was so cool. And I can relate to that because, you know, I'm someone that I love the Word, I read the Word a lot, but I am not that consistent. And so this year I was like, I'm going to do a plan. So I started the Buy One a Year with Nikki Gumbel on the Bible app. And even the first 18 days of this year, like, I have felt so, like, secure just knowing that, like, I'm rooted in the Word and, like, that's my every day I'm reading it. And it's not every time in the morning. Sometimes I read it before I go to bed. But just having that consistency of every day has been huge. And I think for me, I used to be like, oh, you don't have to have like a plan. You know, you can just read it. And that's true. But sometimes in your life, you need a plan. Like you need to follow something, that consistency. So that's such good advice. I'm taking it. I love it. I was thinking about this that I want to talk to you about because I saw you at Q Conference.
Yes.
And you and Jenny Allen actually got into a great discussion about y'all are hilarious. Discipleship online. And I think you use your platform for so much good. Your social media, your podcast, everything. But what would you say, practical tips for like the average following person? They're not necessarily an influencer, but they have social media and they're like, I'm the light of the world. Like, I'm a Christian. I want to use this. Like, what's a practical tip to help somebody use their platform for good?
Yeah, that's a great question, Sadie. And the truth is, everybody's an influencer. If you have more than one follower that's not your mom, then you are influencing someone.
Preach.
Someone's looking at you and they are saying, I wonder what they're wearing. I wonder what they're doing. I'm following them because I want to have some view into their life that may change my life. Every person I follow, the reason I follow them is I want to keep up with who they are, or I want to learn from them, or both.
Cool.
And so I think the first thing I'd say is remember that actually you are influencing. You don't have to have millions of followers to be impacting someone's life. The other thing I would say, especially in times of unrest, is be quick to listen and slow to speak. Because once something is on the internet, it is screenshot for all to see. It only takes you losing self-control in anger or in lust or in unkindness or in gossip or in racism. It only takes one moment of you losing self-control and posting something that other people can screenshot it and we can all read it forever, even if you deleted it.
Yeah.
So Jesus telling us, or God telling us, to be quick to listen and slow to speak was a gift before we even knew we would have Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat
That's
and TikTok and all the things.
I love that because I think when something happens in the world, like, you feel like I have to say something, or I need to say something, or I want to say something, and it's so wise to just stop and to think and to listen and pray about it, ponder it before you put it out. Because I think we saw that a lot this year. Like, obviously, cancel culture is not a good thing,
right?
But I feel like there's also something to us thinking a little bit longer or praying a little bit more before we just put something out so that we can avoid offending someone. And you can't always. People are very offendable these days.
Yes.
But at the same time, just using that wisdom with your words, I think that's so good.
Because it's important to remember that scripture doesn't say be quick to listen and then be silent. It actually does say there is a right time. If you're supposed to be slow to speak, there is a right time to speak up for justice, for our neighbors, for those that are less fortunate than us. There is a right time to speak up.
That's good.
We just need to be slow to it, just not never to it.
It's great. I love that. That's good advice right there. Somebody's going to take that. I love it. Well, I want to talk about your book. Okay. That sounds fun, which is also like your podcast. That sounds fun. Okay, so I have to ask you because, you know, Enneagram is so fun for anybody to talk about. Do you think that being a 7 kind of helps you influence your writing a book called That Sounds Fun?
Totally. Because like when Jenny Allen and I just talked about this. When you think about who wrote the Bible, I'm like, I wish a 7 would have written one book so that we'd see like, what were the funny things going on, right?
Yes.
So yeah, I think it's just like the body of Christ. We need all these people serving in all different ways so that we can see the fullness of who God is.
That's great.
And so I need to write books like a 7 because the world does need someone. While the 3s are reminding us to work hard and the 5s are reminding us to research and the 9s are reminding us to care about other people more than we care about ourselves and the 2s are reminding us to serve and all that, the 7s have to remind us like, yeah, but are y'all having a good time at all? Is anyone having a good time? And is anyone making space? Because that's what it is the healthiest moment of fun is the moment where you've made some space and there's a little deep breath for your soul.
So
I absolutely think my 7-ness plays into writing about fun. But you know what? When I was growing up, Sadie, I would think, man, why? How come everybody else doesn't think about fun this much? Am I immature? Yeah. Am I like, is there something wrong with me? And the longer I've been Annie, the more I've gone like, no, you know what? God doesn't mess up when he makes me. And he doesn't mess up when he makes any of us. And so the things that I love are the things I'm meant to love. And the things, I mean, like puzzles with Steph, right?
Yeah.
But really, the strengths that I have are meant for the world.
Yeah.
And so, and really, the book is called That Sounds Fun. And it is about fun, but it's so much about learning how to love how God made you so you go after the things that you love.
So that
the whole world flourishes, not just you quietly in your own little life.
It's so good. That's like the message of Live Original. It's like take what God has originally placed in you, whether that is something specific or something like the idea of having fun, and use it for his glory. Use it for good. And I think that's so cool. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore
explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code SadieRob. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code SadieRob.
I wanted to ask you, because obviously being a seven has played into that, but also there's just who you are. It's who God made you to be. Yeah. Do you think genuinely that everybody can have fun?
Like, I do. I think it looks different for everybody. I think what's happened is that we've decided that fun is Disney World. And there are people who think fun is rocking in a rocking chair on a back porch. And so they would say to you and me, well, I'm not very fun. Like a lot of my friends who are moms will be like, well, I'm not the fun mom. And I'm like, well, your kids think you're the fun mom. But when you look on Instagram, you don't think you're the fun mom.
That's true.
Right? So everybody, it happens to me all the time, Sadie, where people walk up and say, they'll be telling me their fun thing. And they'll start with, I don't know if this is very fun. Or when I ask my guests that are on the podcast at the end, what sounds fun to you? They go, I don't know if you're going to think this is fun. But I'm like, yes, if you think it is fun, it is fun. If Steph thinks puzzles are fun, then game on. Puzzles are fun for her. But the problem is when we decide that fun has to be expensive or big or Disney World, and then we think, well, then what I'm doing is not fun.
It's so true.
And the reality is, no, if you think you're having fun, you probably
are.
You're
having fun.
You probably are.
I love that. That's so interesting because, you know, we talk about comparison a lot, but you never think about comparing your fun, except for you do that all the time.
All the time. Like, because it's comparing your cool. It's the same thing. It's that you think you aren't purposely going, is that person more fun than me? But you're going, wait, they look like they're having more fun than me, which makes me sad because I'm in pain, or makes me sad because I didn't think of it, or makes me sad because I don't have the money to do that. Well, of course they're having a great time because they're married, or of course they're having a great time because they're rich. And you're like, nah, man, do you like cross-stitching? Then you're having a good time.
That's
do you
so
like
good.
Cooking in your kitchen? Have you learned to make your own marshmallows during COVID? That's awesome. Like, you're having as much fun, because the thing we don't know or we can't really define about the people who are going to Disney World for fun or going to Paris for fun is normally their hurts and their pains are about equal to the level of escapism we see them doing.
So true.
And so you're like, man, these big celebrities who get to do these big, massive trips. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of pain in their lives, too, that we don't experience.
So
let's celebrate that a puzzle is relaxing to us, because that also means our stress is at a level that a puzzle can help.
Yeah, that's so good, man. I love this.
Right?
I you don't even know you can learn so much about fun.
And, that's my goal, and girl.
I love
that's
it.
My goal.
I love this. This is amazing. Okay, so what I've found whenever I write books is that every time I go to write a book, I always get challenged with the message I'm writing.
Yeah.
And I feel like in the writing process, I start doubting well, am I really fearless because I struggle with fear? Am I really living because today was kind of stinky or whatever it is, you know? It's had you been challenged in this message as you wrote it and especially in the year that we've had,
right?
A book like That Sounds Fun, have you felt that challenge in your own life?
So I turned in the first draft in April of 2020, and we changed about a third of the book by September, October of 2020. Because it was I'm talking a big game, but now I'm trapped in my house alone, and all my trips are canceled. I mean, I had a big birthday in the summer, and I had a big trip to England scheduled. And I mean, we all lost a lot in 2020 and so far in 2021. And so it wasn't, I'm with you that most of my other books, it's while I'm writing that I'm wrestling it down. And this one, I wrote it and was kind of like, yeah, I feel all that. Now, there's a couple of like really sad moments in this book before COVID of like, man, I had to like, I thought this was going to be a thing and it didn't work out. There's a chapter about how I had a dog for 6 days and then I was allergic to it. Sadie, awful. I cried writing it. I cried reading the audiobook. Men tell me all the time that are reading the book that that chapter
that's
made
so
them cry.
That will make me cry.
Awful. It's that's awful. So it's called The Pet Shop. Read it or don't, but I've warned you. I only had the puppy for 6 days. But what happened during COVID is this felt like such a gift from God, sort of, in that I got to go through the whole book that I had already written with the eyes of someone living through COVID and rewrite the pieces that were tone deaf to a world where we didn't know we'd be stuck in our houses for that long or have everything canceled. So then I got to go, man, it's almost like I got to write a first draft and then I got to watch to see if it was actually true. Straight. And there were a couple places where I was like, well, that isn't true anymore. Write a whole chapter about flying to Europe. Because who's getting to do that? Europeans. Yeah. And that's it. You know, and so I feel that same thing you feel writing. I just, in a brand new way that I've never done before, it's almost like I got to lay that filter over the whole book and shake it out. And so all the stuff that wasn't true during COVID and after COVID and in the book anymore.
Wow. What a blessing. That's so cool.
I was so glad.
And that's so great, even for people knowing who are going to get this book, which you all should get this book for sure, obviously. But for people knowing getting the book, this isn't going to be something that is, like you said, tone deaf to the situation that we're in. It's actually speaking straight to the situation that you're in. And so, you know, you just talked about going through a hard time and that's still in your book. That sounds fun. So what is your advice for people who, you know, are going through a hard time, went through the worst of COVID, lost somebody, like these really hard things? Like, what's your advice to them? And why would you say, like, this book is for you? And I think it can encourage you because of this.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing I learned the most when I watched that movie, Inside Out, is that joy and sadness are better together.
Cool.
And so I think for people who are really hurting after COVID or in the middle of COVID, we aren't after it, sadly, yet. Come, Lord Jesus, and set us free from COVID. But for people who are living through it, as we all are, I actually think fun is a little bit of the medicine we need for the sickness that our hearts feel. We just need a release. And the problem is we think, I will feel better once I can fly to fill in the blank. Or, you know what, I'm going to feel better this weekend because I'm going to drink as much as I want to drink. Or I'm going to eat as much as I want to eat. Mm-hmm. Or the thing I've been seeing, if I'm being real honest with you, Sadie, is my friends are hooking up in ways they weren't doing before COVID. Because the single people aren't meeting new people. And so they're just scrolling through their phones and making decisions in secret that nobody knows because there's not accountability. Because you don't have to look. The dudes don't have to look each other in the face. They can do whatever they want in secret. And the girls too. And so there's been all these things we've run to in COVID because we didn't want to feel alone or abandoned or sad. Mm-hmm. And so for our friends who are feeling any of that or who have run to those things, I would say you are allowed to feel that. Stop trying to medicate that with things and instead just feel it and believe yourself and then go, well, what really brings me joy? Because here's how we figured out. You want to know the quiz? I'll give you the fun quiz. When you got home from school in third grade on a Tuesday, what did you do? What did you really do after school on Tuesdays, Sadie? What would you do when you were a kid?
So great. I'm trying to think. Well, you know, my mom and dad always made me and Johnny go play outside.
Yep.
And that is actually true. Like, to this day, whenever I need a break, like, me and Christian go on a walk or I take the dog outside. Like, there's something about just getting outside and being in the freshness and the quiet of Louisiana woods. So
that's right.
That is so interesting.
It stays with you. That thing you did as a kid that made you feel wild and free actually still lives in you. Now, it doesn't mean, do I have time to tell you a quick story?
Yes.
I was talking to another guy. We were talking about this. And I said, okay, so tell me what you did after school. And he was like, this isn't going to sound fun, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, get all that out of your system. Now tell me. And he said, I used to get the kids together in my neighborhood and we would like be a choir and I would direct the choir. And I was like, that is the sweetest thing I've ever heard.
Wow,
that is so cool. Sweet. And I was like, do you sing now? And he's like getting teary. He's like, no. Aww. I don't. Why don't I do that? Why don't I? Why am I not in a chorus? Why am I not, you know? And so then, because there is something in us, that fun thing. The reason I want to say that when we're talking about pain is because that thing we're longing for when we're in pain, it actually is this thing in us that, you know, our eternity is set in our hearts. What we're really longing for is to be with Jesus. What we're really longing for is Eden before everything was broken.
Right.
And the truth is, we don't get that here. Mm-hmm. We don't get that here. And there was never a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, right? There was never a pot of gold.
Yeah.
And so we're sad that we can't get to, we always look at a rainbow and I wish we could get to the end, and you never can. God never promised the pot of gold. He promised the rainbow.
Wow.
And so in your pain, find the kind of fun that is not chasing a pot of gold, but is celebrating the rainbow. The thing you did when you were a kid that made you feel alive, whether it's painting, playing, writing, puzzles, anything, singing, I don't know, riding a bike, playing outside. The thing you did as a kid, if you will put 30 minutes on your calendar this week and just label it fun, and you'll go try that thing again, you're going to learn something about yourself. You're either going to love it or you're not going to love it, and it's going to give you direction on what happens next.
Yeah. Preach. I love this, Annie. This is so, so good. I feel like people are going to be so set free from this book and even these podcasts, the different things that you talk on. Because like even that simple thing of like going back, I was like, what did I do? And it was like, it came to my mind like that. That was so cool.
And you still do it. You still do it.
Yeah, I do.
It is something about being outside. Being outside is always a win. I mean, you know, one of the things they tell you, you should know this when you're about to have a baby, is they say when a kid gets crabby, put him in water. You know, like when they act crabby, put him in water. And the same is true when we're adults. Put us in a swimming pool or put us outside.
That's so
true. And it helps. It just helps.
It does. That's so good. I love it. Okay, so you talk about this in the book, The Joys of Being an Amateur.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know what's happened to us, and this kind of goes back to your influencer question a little bit, is we've all kind of been convinced that you can't try a makeup look or have a conversation about racial injustice or try a sport if you're not a professional at it.
So
don't say or do anything unless you're sure you're going to be the best.
Yep.
And that is a concern with cancel culture, right? Is that if you make if you're trying to learn and grow and you make a misstep, you're going to get canceled.
Yeah.
And so, but the joy of being an amateur is, what if we just let ourselves and each other be new at something? Mm-hmm. Like, what if we just were allowed to not know how to do everything? Like,
so good.
When did I stop saying to you, I hope I didn't say it to you, but when did I stop saying to you, like, Sadie, you can't try anything new. You have to only do what you're good at. And it just limits our fun.
It limits our fun. It puts so much pressure on you. I think because that's the thing. Like, people who are even my age, 23, is like, why do I have to be a professional at 23? I can't be. I have so much to learn. I have so much to grow in. But when you think you have to be that to start that, you're never going to start because the pressure's too high.
And Sadie, I didn't write my first book until I was 26. It didn't come out till I was 32. I was 23, I was teaching elementary school. I was playing guitar for fifth graders trying to teach them how to spell words, right? Like, we never know where our life is going compared to where we are. So don't take the pressure off of, I can't post this picture unless it's edited perfectly, or I can't tell this story unless it's worked out just like I thought it would, or I can't try this sport or this craft or this recipe until I know I'm going to be good at it. We are losing so many opportunities at fun by forcing ourselves to be pros. Be an amateur. Be not perfect at something, and you're going to have so much more fun.
Oh, I love this.
And we got to do it for each other, too. We got to start letting people, like, you know what? She's not a professional at that conversation, but she's trying. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, everybody wants this, but it takes us, like, actually doing it and cheering other people on in it, too, for this to actually happen. It's like, everything you're saying is so practical. Everything you're saying is, it preaches, it's practical, it's what everybody needs. It's actually, like, a breath of fresh air, actually, and honestly. But it just takes us actually listening and following through and doing it. And, yeah, like you said, not judging others, not canceling others, allowing people the grace to learn. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. I love this.
It's one of the things when we're having hard conversations, either online or in person, and you get so offended. I get offended by people.
Yeah.
Then my first question needs to be, tell me more.
Yeah.
Tell me more about, I don't even have to start yelling. If I want to engage, my first thing is like, I'm surprised at what you're saying. Tell me more, because if I'm going to be an amateur and learn from you, then I also need to give you grace that you're a learner. That's how I have to walk into these conversations that are hard online. Yep. They're hard to have online.
So true.
But it's happening.
Yeah, it's so good. I was actually at the dinner table with somebody two nights ago, and we have totally different lives, and I knew we had totally different views, and you know, you kind of tiptoe around those things, and you don't really ask, you don't really dive in, and I finally was like, can I ask you a question?
Atta girl.
And I just asked him, like, this question that was super controversial that I knew he liked and, like, thought, believed, and I was like, help me understand what I'm missing, because I don't see it, you know? And it was such a mess. Like, our conversation was so awkward. Like, we just awkwardly stumbled over words and didn't really, like, get to the whole point. But it was a start. And that conversation was so good that night. Yes. Like, it opened the door for not even that conversation to get answered, but so many other things. And I was like, you know what? We need to do this more. Like, just awkwardly dive into it, you know?
Awkwardly dive into it. If I could make a t-shirt today, just awkwardly dive into it. That relationship you're scared of, that conversation you're scared of, that grad school you're scared to apply to, awkwardly dive into it. You will be fine. You will not drown.
The front of the shirt needs to say, be an amateur. The back says, awkwardly dive in.
That's exactly right.
I love it. Right. I'm wearing it.
Me too.
Okay, so I love how your subtitle, you talk about why you need a hobby.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool, because why do you need a hobby? And so I want to ask you, what is your hobby and how does it help you?
Okay, so I'm still working on getting hobbies lined up in my life. But I'll tell you the one, and I don't think they have to last forever, but I'll tell you the one that I've been really working on lately has been, I picked up cross stitching again. like my grandmother taught me 100 years ago.
When you said cross stitching earlier, I was like, I wonder if she's referring to herself.
Yes, 100%. Because you know what I noticed is I was watching TV and I was scrolling on my phone. Like, why do we double screen? It's unbelievable.
So I do it to myself all the time.
And so what I did is I went on Etsy and I found a pattern from Hamilton, and it's the three sisters in Hamilton, and they're saying work, and they've and it's so cute. And I was like, I can cross stitch that. And so I sit, so now I do that when I'm watching TV or whatever. And but the other cool thing, Sadie, is so we need hobbies because we need to make space for things like that. We need things that don't involve our brains. I actually like puzzles too, like Steph. And sometimes I'll listen to audiobooks or listen to podcasts and just work on with my hands. It's just nice.
So
one
good.
Of the things Matt Chandler taught me is if you work with your hands, Sabbath with your mind. And if you work with your mind, Sabbath with your hands.
Wow.
Right? And so
that's
we need
so
to,
good.
Now, of course, we do some of both, because you're like, well, I type and I use my brain. I know. People yell at me on the internet like, well, I'm a mom, so what? And I'm like, stop ripping this apart. Just figure
it out.
Don't
get nitpicky.
But so part of hobbies is you need to rest your brain and do something with your hands.
That's
or you
so
need to,
good.
If you're building stuff every day, rest your hands and read a book and let your brain engage. So cross-stitching has been that for me. And you know, the other sweet thing is I've met people in the craft store that I would have never met in any other way, except we both needed the same yellow.
That's so cool.
Right? So hobbies build community that you don't have. And in a world where we want friends who don't believe everything we believe because we know we have the right answer and we want people to know who Jesus is, sometimes you can stand up and preach in the aisles of Joanne's Fabric, and that's fine. But other times you can just meet the girl by the yellow and make friends. And
that's so good.
Someday believe that interaction will continue to lead to people knowing who Jesus is.
I love that. That's so good. You know, it's funny you talk about the double screen, because I have to admit, I have this terrible addiction to Candy Crush, the game.
Yes.
And I
How many levels are you?
It's it's embarrassing.
Like thousands?
I'm in the 900s, so
impressive.
I'm close to the 1,000. But this is so funny. So the other day, I was like, looked at Christian, I was like, I know you get annoyed that I play Candy Crush. And he was like, no, I don't. And I realized he doesn't get annoyed. I'm annoyed at myself that I play Candy Crush, because I'm like, this is annoying. I don't even like that I'm looking at my screen. And it's not like I'm not like always on it.
Yes.
But I do turn to that. And like, if I'm just like, want to just like turn my brain up, and I'm like, I need a better hobby. But what I will say is, like, tennis has always been my hobby.
Yeah.
And I always tell Christian, it's so weird when I play tennis, it's the only place, like truly that my mind shuts off. Mm-hmm. Like, and mm-hmm. That is so cool that you said that, because I am working and moving my hands and my body, but like my brain is at so much peace. I'm not thinking about anything. It's like my true like time to be still, even though I'm not being still. And so that's so cool. I think that's so important. And it is important to get a hobby that's not also on your screen.
Yeah, and you I don't hate Candy Crush. I'm not anti-Candy Crush. I have it too.
It does turn your brain off a little bit, too.
It turns your brain off. I love it on airplanes. But I also wonder, so when you say that to me and you like that, I wonder if you got a deck of cards and did the same thing, but it was in your hands instead of the blue screen in your eyes.
So true. Yes.
Or if you, I mean, you're about to have a tiny person, you could start working on making knitting blankets or making little things that, and Lainey's about to have a baby, too, right?
Yes. So you start making, together.
Oh, my gosh. I love it so much. Yeah, y'all can, like, learn. And so there is just something. Think what you've tapped into with Candy Crush in what you've, if you and I, if we were doing a coaching, a fun coaching.
No, that's why I'm at, I actually was like throwing the Candy Crush out as bait. Like, is that a hobby? Like, because I don't like that it's on the screen, but but I like that.
Right.
Like,
that's so what, what I'm actually hearing you say is that you like games. Games are fun. I know that's part of y'all's family history.
Games.
So you love games, and you need your brain to turn off, but you don't mind still using your hands. You don't need to be asleep. So you need to start making. You don't have to. But I, if you said, what should I do? I'd say think about things you want to make. You like making things with your hands.
I love making things.
And so there's got to be something small that doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a huge blanket that lasts forever. It doesn't have to be like the most beautiful thing ever. You're going to be an amateur at whatever you do.
Yeah.
And don't delete Candy Crush. Play it sometimes too.
Oh, trust me. I won't delete it.
Thank
that
you.
Is my, that's my plain go-to too.
Same.
That's where the love started.
Yes, me too. The love started like 2012 flying across the country.
Same.
Yes.
When I fly, that's what I do. And somehow worked my way up to 900.
That's right.
Okay, that's so good. Okay, last thing I want to ask you, because obviously the podcast is That Sounds Fun, your book is That Sounds Fun. So, you know, I know this could probably be a longer story, and you can tell whatever long, short version of it that you want, but where did that all come from? Like, the podcast, when was it, you know, like, I'm going to start this podcast, because your podcast has killed it. Like, by the way, just congrats. Like, I love seeing your Instagram, who all you're interviewing, how much fun you're having, how much fun the guests are having. It's truly become such a huge thing. And so where did all that fun start?
Yeah, you know, the podcast really started because a fiction author's, like, PR team called me and said, will you interview him? And I was like, well, yeah, but where are we going to release it? They're like, I was, at the time I was like, I have a blog and I have Twitter. What do you want me to do? And they said, have you ever thought about starting a podcast? And I said, that sounds fun. Hand to heaven.
Oh,
I said, that sounds
no
fun.
Way.
And then I went home and I was like, that sounds fun podcast. Okay. Nobody has it. So here we go.
Yes.
So that's really how it started. But that's how the best things start. I was an amateur. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
I what I love is I love when my friends meet my friends. And become friends, right? So, like, if you met someone else here in Nashville and we all went to coffee together and then y'all got coffee by yourselves, that's a dream to me. I love when my friends become friends. But that's awesome. What I get to do now in the podcast, too, is introduce my friends who are making something great, a book, an album, a recipe, whatever, to my friends that are listeners. And so
that's
because
so good,
I called
Annie.
The podcast that, it kind of accidentally set me up as the expert on fun. And
I
then
love
I was
it.
Like, you know what? No one else is taught. People use joy. People use happy. People don't say fun, and I believe in it. And so I was like, well, if they're going to call me an expert, I'm going to figure it out. So that's where it came from.
I love it. That is so good. The best things do happen like that. It was the same for us. Like, somebody asked me the best piece of advice I've ever been given. I said it, and my mom said, whoa, that's good. And that's literally how it started. So it's just so funny. God, there's a rabbit trail. Like, if you follow the Holy Spirit like rabbit trail, you'll fall into the coolest thing.
That's
so,
right. Eddie, and that's what our friends listening need to hear is, like, neither of us had a massive business plan when we started this.
No.
We had a little inkling of something that might bring us a good time. And
true.
We stepped toward it one time, and then we did it again. And then we did it again. And that is the actual essence of what sounds fun. What sounds fun is do the little thing, the little door that's opened, and see if and see what happens.
Yep. That's so good. I love it. Annie, this is so good. This has been so fun.
Thanks, friend.
And I cannot wait for people to be coached on fun, instructed by fun, be amateurs and awkwardly dive in.
That's right.
You're the best. You're such a good friend and
thanks,
just such
Sadie.
A good human. Thanks for being on the podcast.
I'm so grateful for you. I'm so glad we're friends. Thanks for having me.
All All right, welcome back to the Good and Bad Advice segment, the part of the podcast where...
That you all love more than the other part, probably. Probably.
Probably.
Maybe.
Why, because you're in it?
Maybe, I don't know, but maybe I'm just thinking that.
Maybe you're just I've seen some of the comments. He reads his comments.
I don't read my comments.
So, good and bad advice. Every time you get in front of a mic, you should make a fart noise.
Good advice. That's good. Well, instead of doing like, check, check, one, two, three, why don't you just do check, check,
well, we just had this conversation.
Did y'all hear that? That worked.
Because, like, every time he sits down here, he, like, goes, like, I'm like, how many times, like, when do you get to the point where you stop doing that?
I got in trouble last week for doing that at my friend's rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, that was totally inappropriate.
So that was bad advice. But anything else, it can be good advice.
Ooh, this is not good or bad advice, but can I ask you a question?
Ask me.
And I'm asking all of you, too. Sonic ice or Chick-fil-A ice?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say buying in bulk. Sonic, I don't think you can buy Chick-fil-A in bulk, but you can intentionally buy Sonic in bulk. But if I'm just going to drink a drink, I'd rather drink Chick-fil-A ice.
Me too. Crunchy. Like Sonic ice is where all the hype's at, and I love Sonic ice, but like Chick-fil-A ice is like really good. The crunch is specifically good.
Speaking of Sonic, did you like the movie Sonic?
Yes, but not
remember
as much
how
as
much
you.
I liked it?
Yes, of course I do. All right, we have to get to this.
Okay, sorry.
All right, good or bad advice. Let's see. Don't be sad. It's such a waste of time. Dang. Brutal.
Man.
I think that's bad advice.
Yeah. There's definitely a time and a place to mourn. You
taught me this too, because I used to like not want to cry because I was like crying sad. Why would I cry? Let's just get past it. Mm-hmm. And Christian's like, you need to feel that. Like, tears are a good thing. Like, also that movie, The Shack, when it talked about the tears and how like,
it's a great movie.
The Holy Spirit like collected all the tears, and it was just so sweet. But you really taught me a lot about that. And now I cry at the appropriate times and it helps because it helps you actually move forward.
Yeah. And I think that idea of like sadness can like not be a sign of like masculinity, you know, because I think a lot of people who like want to be masculine, want to be a man, don't sad. They don't cry. But
they don't sad.
They don't act sad, whatever they want to do because it's something in their life. But I think it's completely okay to cry and still be a man. Look at King David. The dude was a beast.
Yeah, baby. I love that. That is so good. All right. Let's see. Sushi is great. You should try it. Yeah.
Sushi is one of my favorite foods. You kidding me?
You can crush sushi.
I can
some
crush
sushi.
Some sushi.
Me
like,
too.
Talking like four rolls is like child's play.
Yeah, that might not even be good for you.
I actually read something this morning on my Glorify app. That's actually really good advice. You want to hear it?
Oh, bring it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
You have no authority where you have no love.
Sheesh. Boom. That's good.
Awesome?
Heidi Baker. You have no authority where you have no love. That's so good. Give that a heart.
I give it a heart.
Christian and I both have the Glorify app, and they send you a piece of advice every day.
It's
like it starts with that. It's a quote, and it's always so good. That one was particularly
good. It's always just little nuggets of gold.
He makes fun of me for saying nuggets. That is not weird. That is not weird. Okay, final debate. After you tell us if you like Chick-fil-A or Sonic Ice, let me know if saying that is nuggets of gold is weird or not. Okay,
but Chick-fil-A actually does have nuggets of gold.
That's true.
They're legit.
Valid. I love you.
Check out Chick-fil-A today.